Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
So Auckland Council has called on the government to address the impacts on Auckland from the enabling housing supply bill. Could you please elaborate a bit on the council's concerns?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It was sort of the subject of a very fiery planning committee meeting a little while ago. And basically the long and short of it is Auckland Council's kind of broad concerns, particularly I think with design standards, so that the bill kind of builds up within urban areas of Auckland, but also we've got to make sure that those are attractive for people and they can be seen as long-term family homes. I think that's kind of the crux of Auckland Council's concerns. Look, if I'm perfectly honest with you, my personal view is that I support the bill. I think that the bill will provide more homes for families in places that they need them the most, closer to public transport, jobs and study. And I think we shouldn't be sacrificing intensification for the sake of anything else. But at the same time, I think both council and the government are open to looking at the design level standards and trying to look at how we can make these houses attractive and nice for people going into decades into the future. So that's kind of the focus of where council is at the moment.
Right, and it seems like one of the issues is that council does recognise the need for intensification and supports it, but is perhaps concerned that intensification in areas that haven't been duly improved in, like, the areas of public transport or water or community infrastructure might be being poorly served by intensification without consideration of these other things. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, the bill sort of goes carte blanche in terms of single house zones. So basically the zones in the city and across Auckland where you can't go beyond essentially a single house. So you can't build townhouses or apartments or anything like that. And my view is that in the central city, there is far too much single house zoning. That's my personal view. And that actually we should be providing more homes for families and more intensified housing. And like I said, where there is access to public transport, but also stuff like water infrastructure, stuff like parks and playgrounds as well, everything that a family needs for a good life. I think where the concern comes in for me personally, and I think plenty in council share this view, is places like Patumahoe or Clark's Beach, or places that are really far away from any sort of jobs or public transport, anything like that, very expensive to service, infrastructure that's so far out of the city. And council has already found this in terms of places like Drury, places like Red Hills, putting in brand new pipes really far away. That can be quite an expensive exercise, and really council doesn't want to have to go there in terms of the very far out places of the city. So I think we need to talk about where the intensification is. I think that's where the crux is. And for me personally, so long as it's centrally located, I think that's a real benefit for our city.
And I imagine intensification far away would, you know, it would encourage more car use far away if there's not adequate public transport, and then that kind of clashes against, like, the council's climate action plan.
Yeah, quite right. I think I've said on this show a few times before that there is no other issue really than climate change. That is the number one issue facing Auckland, the country, the world, over the near future and going in through the decades. And so everything we need to do reflects climate change. And so if we can bring people toward their jobs, then that will actually really help the climate emissions profile, particularly in terms of transport. But if we're intensifying away from people's jobs, as we are doing in a lot of places, then that will actually impact our climate change outcomes negatively, and we shouldn't be doing that. So, yeah, it's location, 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 just like they say in real estate.
On Monday, it's coming up that the consultation on Te Whau pathway opens, and it's going to be open until the 20th of December. What is this pathway? Could you explain a little bit about it?
Yeah, so for any listeners that have been to New Plymouth, they have an absolutely gorgeous pathway that straddles the coastline there. It's just absolutely wonderful. And I went there a few, before COVID, in the before times, and it was just like a rock concert. There was everybody out there enjoying the path and enjoying the greenery and all sorts of stuff around there and enjoying the beautiful view. So we're consulting from Monday on the Faux pathway, which is essentially the same as that New Plymouth pathway, but along the coast of West Auckland, going through Te Aratu South through to the motorway. And some bits have already been built through the Glendine area and through New Lynn, and Kelston area, and it will be a really important linkage. But I think there's a wider topic here for all of Aucklanders that we should be linking up all of our pathways and our separated bike trails, and this will be one of the big key moves to link that for Auckland.
Because I think it's going to be the only non-vehicle pathway to connect the Waitemata and Manukau harbours, is that correct?
That's right, and it kind of follows a reasonably ancient kind of portage through history, and so there is just a beautiful kind of thing on multiple levels for that. But yes, it connects the Waitemata and Manukau harbours.
So who will be able to use it? Will it be pedestrians and cyclists, like e-scooters, that kind of thing?
Yep, fully shared paths. So pedestrians, e-scooters, cyclists, mobility, all of it, basically. It's just going to be a beautiful path for people as opposed to kind of vehicles, yeah.
What can the public contribute to in this consultation? Is it that this pathway is definitely going ahead and it's just contributing thoughts on how that should be executed, or is it a yes or no, we should have this pathway kind of thing?
Yeah, so the pathway already has budget attached to it, so yes, it's going ahead, which is pretty exciting and cool. So how the public can contribute is through the design of the pathway, but also stuff like play areas, greenery, points you want to jump on and off, all that kind of stuff. So what's going to make this pathway the best for you? What's going to be the most gorgeous thing that you can possibly conceive of that you can use? And yeah, like I've said, it will connect to the Northwestern pathway, so there'll be an important regional link, so it's not just for locals, it's for everyone, and I'd encourage everyone to submit. And you can do that basically through tifopathway.org.nz/consultation. That's tifopathway.org.nz/consultation.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.